From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. There was a hint of a diplomatic opening today between Israel and the Palestinians. Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas welcomed an offer from Israel's acting prime minister, Ehud Olmert, to hold new peace talks. Olmert said he hoped to return to the table after Israel holds elections in March. But Olmert said the offer was contingent on Palestinians disarming militant groups, including Hamas.
And that presents a problem. For now, Hamas leaders say they have no intention of laying down their arms, and they're focused on upcoming elections of their own. Hamas is expected to win at least a third of the seats in the Palestinian parliament in a vote next week. We'll talk with a Palestinian pollster in a few minutes. First, NPR's Linda Gradstein reports on the challenge currently facing Israel.
Just days before the Palestinian elections, official Israel is sticking to a clear line about Hamas, which has been behind dozens of suicide bombings over the past 5 years. In a news conference, Israel's President Moshe Katsav said Israel can never talk to Hamas.
There is no basis to negotiate with them. Hamas cannot be a partner as long as it does not recognize our right to exist.
But behind the scenes, there is a sharp debate within Israel about whether Hamas can ever be weaned away from the pledge enshrined in its covenant to destroy Israel. Israeli military officials say Hamas has observed the 11-month-old ceasefire far more strictly than other Palestinian factions. Over the past 6 months, the Islamist group has made some impressive political gains, winning control of dozens of town councils in the West Bank and Gaza in municipal elections. Retired Israeli General Shalom Harari, a Palestinian expert at a think tank outside Tel Aviv, says this has forced Israel to deal with Hamas officials.
Already now, we talk with low-level officials of municipalities that are manned by Hamas-elected people. The debate now inside the system is, okay, should we talk also to the top of the pyramids in the municipalities or only to the low level and medium level?
Next week's Palestinian election will mark the first time that Hamas has fielded candidates for parliament. In its campaign, Hamas is focused on internal issues, presenting itself as an alternative to the corruption-ridden Fatah movement which controls the Palestinian Authority. Hamas posters in the West Bank have no pictures of guns, and the group's official platform for the campaign does not mention armed struggle. David Kimchi, a former deputy director of the Mossad, Israel's intelligence agency, says there are tensions within Hamas between the outside leadership based in Damascus, which tends to be more extreme, and local leaders in the West Bank and Gaza who are more interested in internal Palestinian issues.
There is, however, I would say, increasingly strong element within Hamas, which is saying we, Hamas, have to take over the government on the Palestinian side. And our biggest problem at the moment is the secularism among the Palestinians and not necessarily the Israelis.
Kimchi says if the local leadership wins the struggle for control of the movement, it is conceivable that Israel could negotiate with a Palestinian government that includes Hamas. General Harari, who spent decades as an advisor on Palestinian affairs for the Israeli army, says the current debate reminds him of the 1970s, when Fatah and other factions within the Palestine Liberation Organization took responsibility for dozens of terrorist attacks. Israeli officials said then they would never negotiate with the PLO. But in 1993, Israel signed the Oslo Interim Peace Accords with PLO leader Yasser Arafat. Harari says Hamas may be more open to interim agreements with Israel than a final peace deal. But he says having Hamas as a party to an agreement is far better than leaving it outside the negotiations.
With a united government of Hamas and Fatah, we at least if we sign on something, you know that you signed on something that's worth it.
Whatever Israeli officials may want to see, Hamas has become a major player in Palestinian politics. And most Israeli analysts say that if Israel wants a peace deal, it will eventually have to negotiate with Hamas. Linda Gradstein, NPR News.
Khalil Shikaki measures Palestinian public opinion with the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey Research. And he thinks that next week Hamas will win well more than the predicted one-third of the vote. His prediction is that Hamas will get more than 40%. Shikaki says Hamas has gained in strength as its rival, Fatah, has fractured and failed to offer progress toward peace.
People wanted to vote for Fatah because they believed Fatah can deliver on the peace process while Hamas could not. But they look around and they see no progress in the peace process whatsoever, even though the man who has been elected a year ago is supposedly the man of peace. The conclusion of the public is it doesn't really matter who rules the Palestinians. Therefore, Israel has no intention of moving forward on the peace process. And so the biggest asset for Fatah, ability to deliver a peace agreement with the Israelis, isn't really operating. And that serves Hamas's interests.
I'd like to ask you about what could be seen as a contradiction. Your most recent report says that Palestinians' will for a two-state solution has never been as great as today. And I'm trying to figure out how to square that with the public support for Hamas, which has also vowed that Israel as a country has to be destroyed. How do those two things get reconciled?
It does create a certain contradiction with the rise in support for Hamas. However, I would say that is true if one is to consider the peace process as the most significant driving force for voters, which unfortunately isn't. You see, if there was progress in the peace process, it would be. But there is no progress in the peace process. As I said earlier, the ability of Fatah to deliver on the peace process does not exist. Fatah has been accused by the public, perceived by the public, of being corrupt, being unable to deliver good governance or clean government. Hamas is perceived as uncorrupt. The incorruptibility of Hamas is a great asset for Hamas, particularly at a time when the public thinks that fighting corruption should be the top priority of the Palestinian political system.
If there's this confluence of public opinion being more strongly behind Hamas than it may have been before, and at the same time Hamas entering the political process, do you see that public opinion ends up as a moderating force on Hamas, or would you say that's naive and wishful thinking?
The moderation we will see in Hamas, I believe, will be more procedural, more on the process than on the substance. In the long run, it will happen. We will see more moderation, but in the short run, I think Hamas will be willing to show moderation, for example, with regard to arms, with regard to militias. If the parliament and the cabinet, for example, decides that Hamas must disarm and disband its militia, I believe Hamas will be willing to accept that and go along with it, knowing that this is what the majority of the public also wants.
And would you expect to see any public repudiation from Hamas of their core belief that Israel should not exist?
I do believe that Hamas will soon begin to grapple with this issue. And one way, I believe, in the midterm that I see Hamas beginning to address it is by saying that Israel exists on de facto basis and that Hamas will deal with it and recognize it as such on de facto basis. But I believe Hamas will do its best to stay away from statements like Hamas recognizes Israel's right to exist or that it recognizes Israel on de jure basis. I think this is something for the long run and not for the short or midterm.
Khalil Shikaki, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Khalil Shikaki is director of the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey Research in Ramallah in the West Bank. His new report for the United States Institute of Peace is titled Willing to Compromise, Palestinian Public Opinion and the Peace Process. There's a link to the report at our website, npr.org.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.